Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resource for the month, if you have not procured your copy or copies for friends and family members, the book is titled God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew Walker. It's an absolute must read. And let me emphasize why this is so significant. I'll do that by saying that just before I came into the studio, I read the story of a person named Nathan Verhelst. The story is that Nathan was born a girl and was considered by her mother to be rather ugly. At some point, she decides that she would be better off if she were a he. And so she began partaking in hormone therapy. Well, next on the horizon was a double mastectomy. And after that, a series of surgeries to construct a penis. And after three major surgeries, Nathan was ready to celebrate his rebirth as a man. Nathan, in his own words, tells of then looking into a mirror and being absolutely disgusted. My new breasts did not match my expectations. My new penis, well, it had symptoms of rejection. And then there was the scarring of both body and soul, physical and metaphysical scarring. Then came utter depression. What was the solution to all of this? Well, the solution to all of this is a year following the last sex change procedure, Verhelst was euthanized. The pretext was unbearable psychological suffering. Verhelst's last words before receiving a lethal injection at a university hospital in Brussels were, "I don't want to be a monster." And so the Belgian health service had tried to turn a girl into a boy, a woman into a man, had failed, and then killed her. And this is all in the spirit of wokeness. The trans train has roared into town in record time, far faster than the L, the G, and the B in LGBTQ+. It is ready to ram through and run over anyone who stands in its way. Time magazine breathlessly referred to this trans movement as the next civil rights frontier. And if you and I question whether a surgically constructed vagina, whether a hormonally grown breast can make you a woman, is a tripwire. That when you stumble over it, you do so at your own peril. To suggest that a trans woman is not the same as a biological woman is dangerous to your career. If your foot stumbles just a bit, if you hit that tripwire, well, you are forever branded. You're branded a bigot, a homophobe, a misogynist, a racist, transphobic, and the list goes on. In the midst of this milieu, a rapidly changing Western culture, it is incumbent on you and I to stand for truth no matter the cost. But to do that, we have to be informed. And to do that, we not only need information, but we need the love and care that was demonstrated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not about mockery. It is not about one-upmanship. It is not about winning. It is about reaching. It is about a person being utterly transformed by the truth that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart, and by a life that is life to the full, not only after we die, but a life that is life to the full in the present as well. So if you haven't read God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew Walker, get your copy available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. You can, as I mentioned earlier, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Check it out on the web. Again, the web address, equip.org. A Facebook question that I thought I might spend a few moments on. This is asked by Amanda, who says, I'm in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada, and I've heard Hank correct some people for misinterpreting Romans 4:17. They were saying they could call things that are not as though they were, when in fact the verse says that God does that. I've always agreed with Hank, but now I'm wondering about it because John 14:12 is a passage in which Jesus says that if we believe in him, we will do the same things he does and even greater things. Does one have to do with the other? I'd appreciate any clarity you can offer. Thank you so much. Well, this is interesting because Romans 4 is a passage that the faith teachers use frequently to say that we are called to call those things that are not as though they were. Well, the problem with that, as I pointed out and as Amanda clarifies, is that if you actually go to Romans chapter 4, you'll find out that that passage does not say that we are to call those things that are not as though they were, but rather God calls those things that are not as though they actually were. So the emphasis is not on humanity, but on the creator of humanity. So Romans 4 is talking about a province that belongs to God alone. Only God can create ex nihilo. God calls forth what does not yet exist. Well, in John, the other passage that is referenced by Amanda, Jesus is not suggesting that the disciples will be able to do what only God can do. Rather, he is promising that the power manifested in himself is a power that he will assign to his disciples. And that power is not only to do the miraculous, to do what Paul did, for example, when he raised Eutychus from the dead. Remember in Acts 20, he's going on and on and on, and Eutychus is listening. He's on a third story, falls out the window, dies, and Paul heals them. Or like Peter, whose shadow heals the sick in Acts chapter 5. but also to do something that is far more significant. It goes beyond multiplying loaves and fishes. It is the spiritual transformation of individuals and empires. So yes, we can do what Christ did. We can transform lives by His power, by His might, by His providence. Good question, Amanda. We love the questions when they come in through Facebook or through all the social media platforms. We'll be answering them on a regular basis right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we still give preference to the live callers when you call 888-ASK-HANK. My thanks as we go to break for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
Many Christians don't know how to respond to the issue of transgenderism. Unfortunately, ignorance is not an option. The Bible is clear on issues of sexuality and gender, making fidelity to the foundations of our faith essential. Andrew T. Walker wrote the book, God and the Transgender Debate, to serve as a resource to equip Christians to understand gender identity from a biblical perspective. To receive a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. We'll return with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was thinking that in answering Amanda's Facebook question just before the break, I mentioned the words ex nihilo. And many people hearing those words may not have a true valuation of what that means. In fact, the notion that God created everything from nothing has fallen on very, very hard times in our generation. There are a surprising number of philosophers and theologians who are dogmatically contending that the doctrine of creation out of nothing, or ex nihilo, has little scriptural support. I think of the leading Mormons today who overtly contend that matter has coexisted eternally with God. But the opening statement in the Bible, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," points to the truth that God creates everything out of nothing. In fact, as I've said many times, there are only three options, and only one of those corresponds to reality. You can think, on the one hand, that in the beginning nothing existed. No mass, no energy, not even God. Nothing. Nothing. Simply nothing. Logic, however, screams that nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. And then there's the possibility that something existed, but that something was an impersonal potentiality out of which every potentiality from, well, let's say from protein molecules to personal mind emerged. But that idea hardly advances the ball. As common sense tells us, every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And that leaves us back to where we should always return, and that is the biblical contention, because that alone makes sense. The universe was created by an uncaused first cause greater than itself. Time, space, the universe have not always existed, but God has always existed. And God's existence is the cause for the existence of all else that exists. While science demands that the universe had to have a beginning, nothing philosophically, nothing biblically demands that the cause of the universe had to have a beginning. The writer of Hebrews sums it up so well. And of course, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Paul says, "By faith, not blind faith, but faith grounded in evidence, we may understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." So did God create everything out of nothing? Absolutely. The very first sentence of the Bible demands as much. In an age of empirical science, in an age of enlightenment, we can abide nothing else. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth. When you get involved in the immersion of Scripture, when you bathe yourself in the Word of God, everything begins to make sense. In fact, I was asked just the other day by Chad about Revelation chapter 20, which is a chapter that so often creates consternation in the minds of modern-day readers. Chad was asking, what does John mean in saying that Satan is bound and yet that he's set free for a short time? Of course, he's referring to that epic chapter in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. I was trying to answer that the other day, but ran out of time, so I thought, let me fill in the blanks a little bit on today's broadcast. Remember the words, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. That after that clause is what gives people difficulty. But what do we have here? We have a picture of Jesus. Why Jesus? Because he alone holds the key to the abyss. Through his birth, his life, his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension and coming, as in coming on clouds or coming in judgment on those who cried, crucify him, is vindication. Vindication that Jesus is not only Israel's quintessential king, but King of kings and Lord of lords. As the result of his life, as a result of his death, he disarmed, he bound the power and authority of darkness. He made a spectacle of Satan and his minions. He triumphed over them by the cross. 1,000 years here, then, is an indication of everlasting and complete defeat. It's very much like the metaphor God keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations, which is indicative of the fact that God's covenant mercies endure forever. And so, too, Satan is forever defeated. However, as John makes plain in the Apocalypse, my word for the book of Revelation, the worst of the tribulation yet looms on the horizon, and as such, Satan must be set free for a short time. He must surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves, before Christ's coming in judgment and ultimate vindication become the climax of the narrative. So for the sake of the story, the tribulation must as yet happen. And this is what is meant by Satan being set free for a short time. John is emphasizing the ultimate triumph of Jesus, the quintessential defeat of Satan. And he's also warning his readers that they as yet will face tribulation, for Satan must be set free. That is what the book of Revelation is all about. It is John's expanded Olivet Discourse, a discourse in which the persecuted bride of Christ will suffer for 10 days, but in the end will be vindicated for 1,000 years. The narrative in apocalyptic language has to do with John's letters to the 7 churches there in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. First and foremost, he's warning them. He wants them to understand they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer a great tribulation, but he also wants them to understand that this great tribulation within the larger scope of vindication means that they have a hope and a purpose. And so in Revelation, John recapitulates the story of Christ's victory over Satan, the reality that he's bound for 1,000 years. In other words, that Jesus made a spectacle of principalities and powers of darkness, that he triumphed over them by the cross. He wants his followers to never forget that, like John the Baptist, they may be persecuted and killed, but ultimately that means that they will also be resurrected and they will rule and reign with Christ forever. Again, the metaphor, 1,000 years. But not so the principles of Satan's kingdom. Those who had taken the mark of the beast, their physical death marks the beginning of their eternal judgment. They're spiritually dead and will not be physically revived until Jesus appears a second time at the general resurrection of the dead. This is a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. If you want more information on understanding really the code breaker to the book of Revelation, get my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it is so significant today, why it matters today. That book you can find on the web at equip.org. And again, as I close this broadcast, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference. And that's what we want to do until the day that we see the Lord. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.